Epilogue. Artemis woke to find Holly and Foley leaning over him. Holly seemed concerned, whereas Foley was scrutinizing him as one would a lab experiment. "I am not in pain," thought Artemis. "They must have given me something." And then, "I should lighten the mood."
"Ah, my princess! Noble steed! How does the morning find you both?"
"Darn fit," said Holly. "It's the knight in shining armor." Said Foley. "That's how Atlantis goes. As it progresses, you can never predict what will set it off. I thought the cocktail of drugs would bring back Artemis. But at least Orion will tell us what Artemis is up to." He leaned in closer. "Orion, you noble youth, do you happen to know the password for Artemis's firewall?"
"Of course I do," said Artemis. "It's D-O-N-K-E-Y space B-O-Y.
Foley was halfway through writing this down when the penny dropped.
"Oh, ha-ha, Artemis. Most hilarious. I knew it was you all the time."
Holly did not laugh.
"That wasn't funny, Artemis. Atlantis complex is no joke."
At the mere mention of the disease, Artemis felt the nest of malignant fours stir at the back of his head.
"Not again," he thought. "It would really help if you two swapped places," he said, trying to sound calm and in control. "Also, could you close those two porthole blinds all the way? Or open all the way, but not in the middle like that. That makes no sense."
Holly wanted to shake Artemis until he snapped out of it. But she had talked to Dr. Argon of the Psych Brotherhood, and he had told them to humor the human until they could get him checked into the clinic.
"Opal Cowboy's old room is still free," the doctor had said brightly,
and Holly suspected he was already thinking of titles for the inevitable book.
So she said, "Okay, Artemis, I'll get the blinds."
As Holly tapped the little sun icon beside the blind, lightening the glass, she noticed the shoals of exotic fish basking in the podlight from the Nostremius's stern fins. "We are all swimming towards the light," she realized, and then wondered when she'd become so philosophical. Too much thinking is one of the things that put Artemis where he is now. We need to deal with this problem.
"Artemis," she said, forcing a note of positivity into her voice, "Dr. Argon wondered if you had any kind of record of my descent into madness," completed Artemis.
"Well, he actually said the complex's progression. He said keeping a journal of some kind is common among sufferers. They feel a great need to be understood after..."
Again, Artemis completed the sentence.
"After we die, I know. I feel that compulsion still."
He tugged off the ring from his middle finger.
"It's my fairy communicator, remember? I kept a video diary. Should make terrifying viewing."
Foley took the ring. "Let me zap that down to Argon. It'll give him a little insight before he gets you strapped into the crazy chair."
The centaur realized what he had said.
"Sorry, Cabellin is always saying how insensitive I am. There's no crazy chair. It's more like a couch or a futon."
"We get it, Foley," said Holly. "Thanks so much." The centaur clocked to the hospital room's automatic door.
"Okay, I'll send this off. See you later, and watch out for those evil fours."
Artemis winced. Holly was right. The Atlantis complex was not funny. Holly sat on the chair beside his bed. It was a very high-tech bed with stabilizers and impact cushions, but unfortunately a little short.
"You're growing, Artemis," she said.
Artemis smiled weakly.
"I know. Not fast enough in some ways."
Holly took his hand. "You can try to upset yourself if you want, but you won't be able to. Foley pumped enough sedative into you to put a horse to sleep." They both smiled at that for a moment, but Artemis was in a melancholy mood.
"This adventure was different, Holly. Usually someone wins and we're better off at the end. But this time so many people died. Innocents. And no one has benefited. And all for love. I can't even think of Turnbull as a villain. All he wanted was his wife back."
Holly squeezed Artemis's fingers. "Things would have been a lot worse without us around. Number one is alive, thanks to you, not to mention everyone on this hospital ship. And as soon as we have you back to your old self, we can get working on saving the world with your ice cube."
"Good. That's still my priority, though I might want to renegotiate my terms a little."
I thought you might." Artemis took a sip of water from a cup on his locker.
"I don't want to go back to being me completely. My old self is what brought on Atlantis Complex in the first place."
"You did some bad things, Artemis. But you wouldn't do them again. Let them go."
"Really? You can just let things go?" It's not that easy, but you can do it with our help, if it's what you really want.
Artemis rolled his eyes. Potions and therapy. Heaven help me.
Dr. Argon is a bit of a fame hound, but he's good. The best. Also, I'm sure number one can give you a magical detox. Get the last of those sparks out of your system.
That sounds painful.
Maybe, but you'll have friends around you. Good friends.
Artemis sat up on the pillows.
I know. Where's Mulch?
Where do you think?
I think he's in the galley. Possibly inside one of the refrigerators.
I think you're probably right.
How about Juliet?
Holly's sigh was both affectionate and frustrated.
She's organized a wrestling match between herself and a jumbo pixie who passed a comment about her ponytail. I'm currently pretending I don't know anything about it. I should go and break it up soon.
I pity the pixie, said Artemis.
And how about Butler? Do you think he can ever trust me again?
I think he already does.
I need to speak to him.
Holly glanced towards the corridor.
You'd better give it a minute. He's making a delicate phone call.
Artemis could guess who he was calling. He would have to make a similar call himself soon.
So, he said, trying to sound more light-hearted than he actually felt, with the Atlantis complex bubbling at the base of his temporal lobe.
Arrange this, it said. Count that. Beware four. Four is death.
I hear that you were on a date with Trouble Kelp. Are you two planning on building a bivouac any time soon?
Butler thought he might be developing claustrophobia. It definitely seemed as though the walls were closing in. It didn't help that the corridor he was crouched in was built for people half his size. The only place he could stand up properly was the gymnasium, and that wasn't really the place to make a private call, as his baby sister was probably beating the stuffing out of a jumbo pixie in there at the moment, playing it up for the assembled crowd of patients and medics who would soon adore the Jade Princess.
Butler slid down the wall into a sitting position and held out Artemis's phone.
Maybe there's no network, he thought hopefully. But there was. Four bars. Artemis had built his phone to access all available networks, including military and ferry. A person would have to be on the moon before Artemis's phone would fail.
Okay, stop putting it off. Make the call.
Butler scrolled through the contacts and selected Angeline Fowle's mobile phone. It took a few seconds to connect, as the call had to go through Haven, up to a satellite, and back to Ireland, and when it did ring, the tone was the fairy triple beep.
Maybe she's asleep.
But Angeline picked up on the second ring.
Artemis, where are you? Why haven't you called?
No, Mrs. Fowle, it's me, Butler.
Angeline realized that Butler was calling her on Artemis's phone and naturally jumped to the worst possible conclusion.
Oh, my God, he's dead, isn't he? I should never let him go.
No, no, Artemis is fine, said Butler hurriedly. Not a mark on him.
Angeline was crying into the phone.
Thank goodness! I would blame myself. A 15-year-old after save the world with fairies. What was I thinking? That's it now. Finished. A normal life from now on.
I can't even remember normal, thought Butler.
Can I speak to him?
Here we go.
Not at the moment. He's, sedated.
Sedated? You said he wasn't hurt, Butler. You just said there wasn't a mark on him.
Butler winced.
There isn't a mark on him. Not on the outside.
Butler swore he could hear Angeline Fowle fuming.
What is that supposed to mean? Are you turning metaphorical in your dotage, man? Is Artemis hurt or not?
Butler would have much preferred to be facing down a SWAT team than delivering this news, so he chose his words carefully.
Artemis has developed a condition, a mental condition. It's a little like OCD.
Oh, no,
said Angeline. And for a moment, Butler thought she had dropped the phone. Then he heard her breathing, fast and shallow.
It can be controlled, he said. We're taking him to a clinic right now. The best clinic the fairies have. He is in absolutely no danger.
I want to see him.
You will. They're sending someone for you.
This wasn't actually the case, but Butler vowed that it would be, seconds after he hung up the phone.
What about the twins?
The nanny can sleep over. Artemis's father is in Sao Paulo at a summit. I'll have to tell him everything.
No, said Butler quickly. Don't take that decision now. Talk to Artemis first.
Will he know me?
Of course he will, Butler replied.
Very well, Butler.
I'm going to pack a bag now. Tell the fairies to call when they're 10 minutes away.
I will do.
And butler?
Yes, Mrs. Farrell.
Look after my boy until I get there. Family is everything. You know that.
I do, Mrs. Farrell. I will.
The connection was severed, and Angeline Fowle's picture disappeared from the little screen.
Family is everything, thought Butler, if you're lucky.
Mulch stuck his head round the door, beard dripping with some congealing liquid that seemed to have whole turnips trapped in it. His forehead was covered in bright blue burn gel.
Hey, bodyguard, you better get down to the gymnasium. This jumbo pixie guy is killing your sister.
Really?
Said Butler, unconvinced.
Really? Juliet just does not seem to be herself. She can't put two moves together. It's pathetic, really. Everyone's betting against her.
I see, said Butler, straightening as much as he could in the cramped surroundings. Mulch held the door.
That's going to make things really interesting when you show up to help.
Butler grinned. I'm not coming to help. I just want to be there when she stops faking.
Ah, said Mulch, comprehension dawning on his face. So I should switch my bet to Juliet.
You certainly should, said Butler, and lumbered down the corridor, stepping around a pool of turnip soup.